I'm an alcoholic. I'm a grateful believer, and my name is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I came to CR to conquer my hurts, habits, and hangovers. Moral, tonight's lesson 8. Moral, they switched them around, so I think that's right. I have the old school here from the old book. Let's read principle 4 and step 4. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And again, the lesson is called Moral. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8. Step. Ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:4. Sorry, a little slow. I'm getting old. I want to start. This is a key to me, step and principle, and they do have, like, the next 4 or 5 lessons are on principle 4 and 5 and step 4 and 5. So this is key stuff, and this is kind of the beginning of that. We'll talk about tonight and go over that, but that's why there'll be a lot of lessons on that. This is kind of the middle of the road, I guess, of recovery. If you don't know, if you're new, we practice 12 steps and 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery, and so we go through these up here on lessons. There's 25 lessons total, of which 5 or 6 are on this step 4 and 5, basically, and principle 4 and 5. So key stuff here that we're starting to get into. The thing, too, I want to talk about first here, principle 4 kind of covers a couple things, and the steps break it down to a little, tighter. Because principle 4 says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, to someone I trust. And what really we're going to start with to talk about is openly examine my faults. And I say that, and that's a step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, and then it stops there. And that's for a reason, because you don't get too far ahead. As I said, work the steps in order. Worry about this step. Worry about getting it down. You don't want to get thinking ahead. Well, I'm not going to ever, I've got things I'm taking to the grave, I'm not going to tell anybody. Well, that might be so. Worry about that on step 5. And right now, just get it down, get it out. This is between you and yourself and your paper. So do the work. And I think you'll find it beneficial to do so. So that's why I explained that. There is then in the totality of both of those, though, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so that's to be healed. I mean, that's what we're talking here in the final result. So that's good stuff. Let's see. I'm gonna be reading more than I normally do, and I apologize for that. But they just say, so I go crazy trying to reword everything and make it my own, and then I realized he probably says it the best here on a lot of things. So I'm gonna read some of this stuff. Tonight we're gonna really dig in and begin the growth process of recovery. Now, even though principle 4 may bring some growing pains with it tonight, we are gonna look at ways to maximize the growth and minimize the pain. I wish I could say that you can escape the pain of your past altogether by going around it or jumping over it, but the only way I know to get rid of the pain of your past is to go through it. It has been said that we need to use our past as a springboard, not a sofa, a guidepost, not a hitching post. I know some people who spend their lives rationalizing the past, complaining about the present, and fearing the future. They, of course, are not moving forward on the road to recovery. And if you choose to embark on the adventure of self-discovery that begins with Principle 4 and continues through Principle 5, I can guarantee you that growth will occur And I also concur with that, that I guarantee that you will grow. And I, when I was told that, when I had been in and out, back then we didn't have CR, so I started to cut my teeth on AA, and I'd been in and out and in and out, and I just figured some people get sober and some people don't, and I'm going to be one of those that doesn't. But when my sponsor told me, Ron, if you'll just do this stuff and do it like I tell you, you will have success. And I really couldn't hardly believe it, but I did. I've been sober a long time now, so this stuff works. Principle 4 begins the process of coming clean. It is here that we openly examine and confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and another person we trust. We chip away and clean out all the decay of the past that has built up over the years and has kept us from really seeing the truth about our past and present situations. You may be wondering, how do I do this thing called a moral inventory? The word moral scares some people. Really, the word moral simply means honest. In this step, you need to list or inventory all the significant events, good and bad, in your life. You need to be as honest as you can be to allow God to show you your part in each event and how that affected you and others. So, what are we talking about here? We're talking about, you know, what is moral inventory? So, therefore, yeah, what is moral? What are we getting into? And it said, moral is honest. The dictionary says, moral is distinction between right and wrong in conduit and principle of right and wrong. So, we're talking about right and wrong. God, I think, says righteous living, right living is what that means. Honest, loving motives and intentions. And I think this should be called your immoral inventory. I know what immoral is. I've lived that. I'm not so sure about moral, but really it's kind of immoral. That's the kind of stuff we want to get down and get out and take a look at. Tonight's acrostic will explain the five things you need to do to make a moral inventory. So moral is make time. O is for open. R is rely. A, analyze. And L, list. Make time, open, rely, analyze, list. So first, make time. Schedule an appointment with yourself. Set aside a day or a weekend and get alone with God. God tells us in Job 33:33, listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom. When I did mine, I made more than one. I couldn't do it all in just one sitting. But I would go to the library where I had some quiet and I could get away from the house and the work and everything I needed. Of course, libraries to me aren't that quiet anymore, like, you know, when I was a kid. But anyway, you can get away from all the other stuff. But I made an appointment just like I would a sales appointment or anything else. You know, you have to do it. Take it seriously because, okay, I'll do it later. It's never the right time and all that. But if you're going to do this stuff, then you need to just kind of plan it out like anything else and do it. So you set a time, set an appointment. Set more than one. It's kind of the double thing. Don't take forever, but take enough time, you know, to not have to totally rush yourself, and not, because it's important. It's important stuff. So take a notebook, pencil and pad, set a time in a quiet place, make an appointment with yourself. The next letter, O, stands for open. You need to open your heart and mind to allow the feelings that the pain of the past has blocked or caused you to deny. Denial may have protected you from your feelings and repressed your pain for a while, but now it has also blocked and prevented your recovery from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. You need to open wide to see the real truth. Once you have seen the truth, you need to express it. Here's what Job had to say about being open. Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul. Job 7:11. Perhaps the following questions will help to wake up your feelings and get you started on your inventory. Ask yourself, what do I feel guilty about? The first thing that came to your mind is what you need to address first in your inventory. Do you know and understand the God-given purpose of guilt? God uses guilt to correct us through His Spirit when we are wrong. That's called conviction, and conviction hurts. I've heard it said, why do I feel guilty all the time? And the answer is probably because you're guilty. So this stuff can just be such a great thing to use to kind of clean yourself up with this stuff. What do you feel guilty about? Well, write it down. What makes me wake up in the middle of the night? You know, what am I worried about? That kind of stuff. Write it down and maybe make a little note. I tried to have a little notebook in my pocket and by my bedside. This was kind of a, you know, just take some time where this is your thing for a while. If something comes to mind, jot it down because you think, well, I'll remember it later. And of course, later comes and what was that thing I was thinking about? So even if it's just a little note or word or something, and then you can kind of fill it out later. But take this opportunity to work on these things that drive you nuts, that you're guilty about, that you think about, you worry about, your bitterness at something or somebody, you hate something, shame that you feel, whatever, you know, just whatever's hitting you in your mind and your spirit. The next question is, what do I resent? It could be, what do I resent, or who do I resent? That's a great one. Resentment. Those are key things that we work on around here. Resentments result from burying our hurts. If resentments are then suppressed, left to decay, they cause anger, frustration, and depression. What we don't talk out creatively, we act out destructively. I don't know how you say that word. Creatively. We act out destructively. So I've had depression I've fought and it works to go through and what am I depressed about? What's going on? I mean, again, just use those negative times as an advantage to work through it. And instead of just shunning it off or shining it on or trying to avoid it or turning the TV up a little louder or getting into some... We all have all these stuff that we do to get away from ourselves, to distraction, you know. Most of this stuff is a distraction. Well, instead of that, go at it. Go to it, you know. Go at that thing. Work on it. What are my fears? Personally, I have a fear of going to the dentist. But even though it may hurt while I'm in the chair, when he's done driving the decay away, I feel a lot better. So, fear prevents us from expressing ourselves honestly and taking an honest moral inventory. Joshua 1:9 tells us, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." Am I trapped in self-pity, alibis, and/or dishonest thinking? Remember, the truth does not change; your feelings do. Self-pity was one of my huge. Still, I fight it. I mean, where's mine? You know, you all got yours. Where's mine? You know, and I get into that over all kinds of stuff. Don't compare yourself with others. Like my sponsor said, it's never a fair comparison. I'm comparing my inside soul and feelings that I know to the nth degree to your outside, which you've spent probably a lot of time making look pretty good, and what we put out there, it's never going to be a fair comparison. And so we need the reality of what's going on sometimes. Greed. What things have I done in the dark, in secret? Think of those things. Who has hurt me? Whom have I hurt, including myself? Telling lies. What have I lied about? Why? Why would I lie about something? What's that all about? Where's that go? Sexual conduct. There's a book there. Not for me, but I never got mine. Never mind. Okay, we'll move on. Pride and arrogance. Carry a little notebook, which I said before. What bugs you? Worry, past, present. What's things now? But that's the point of going through your past too, and thinking about that. I'll get into that in a minute. So that's just opening up and getting into ourselves. Rely. These questions are only the beginning of your inventory, but don't get discouraged. The next letter offers a reminder that you have to face this. You don't have to face this task alone. Letter R for rely. Rely on Jesus to give you the courage and strength this step requires. Here's a suggestion. When your knees are knocking, it might help to kneel on them. Not my joke. Isaiah 40:29 tells us that Jesus gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You can do this with his help. I mean, we're taught that. Let's use it. And it's true. So he's there. Ask God. Pray about it. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help bring up these things. Because he's with you. This is good stuff. Before we go any further, I want to remind you that the principles and steps are in an order for a reason. You need to complete principle 3, turning your life and your will over to God before you can successfully work principle 4. And that's so true, as I mentioned before. There's 12 steps, 8 principles. Start at the beginning. It's a process. And if you get ahead of yourself, you want this thing to work. You want to build a good base, a good foundation for your recovery. I had, as I said, worked the steps, I thought, in and out of recovery in AA years ago, but I really didn't do it very well. I did it by myself. I really didn't get help. Thought I had done things in here that I didn't. That's also why I recommend the step study. That really is a game changer, in my opinion. And we're talking about this stuff up here, and you can do whatever you want, but when you get in a step study, and they will go over all of this stuff as it comes, like I say, it's kind of in the middle. You'll start at the beginning and work your way up to it, but there's people there to help. You have a camaraderie with the other people there. It's where I got accountability partners. It's where I got my CR sponsor. And it's where we worked these things. I have done the steps myself in AA with myself, with people I sponsor, with my sponsor finally, which really took hold and grabbed. And I had never done the steps in a group when I got here. And I thought, well, what's this step study in a group? And it was amazing. Luckily, I was taught always don't be the genius. Don't know more than they do. Do what this program asks you to do if you're going to come here. It'll work. If you get in the middle of it and do the deal, that's what I was taught to. But step study, I can't recommend it enough. Once you know the love and power of the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ, there is no longer any need to fear this principle. Psalms 31:23-24 tells us, Oh, love the Lord, all of you who are his people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him. Amen. A is for analyze. Analyze your past honestly. Do a searching and fearless inventory. You must step out of your denial, because we cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. You must look through your denial of the past into the truth of the present. Your true feelings, motives, thoughts, and as in the Star Wars movie, Obi-Wan Kenobi says, your dark side, which is true. Proverbs 20:27, the Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. So, believe me, I know, I tried. My grandma used to tell me, Ronnie, I'll say, it's not enough to be as honest as the day is long. You should behave yourself at night, too. which I didn't do a very good job of that. That's why I'm here. So analyze kind of goes along with the openness. And there's kind of to analyze. You know, analyze, like I say, write things down, what you think up and whatnot, and then analyze that. But then also you're kind of analyzing your past and looking for those things. So it's kind of a twofold deal. But that's the deal here. We're analyzing this stuff and looking into it. And again, that's where if you've got other people around you working it and people ahead of you, like a sponsor that's helping you, because on our own sometimes we don't, you know, if we knew what to do, we wouldn't be here probably. So, you know, we're here to help one another. That's a big part of this. So take advantage. So your L is for list. Your inventory is basically a written list of the events of your past, both good and bad. Balance is important. Seeing your past in print brings you face to face with the reality of your character defects. Your inventory becomes a black and white discovery of who you truly are, way down deep. But if you just look at all the bad things of your past, you will distort your inventory and open yourself to unnecessary pain. Lamentations 3:40 tells us, let us examine our ways and test them. The verse doesn't say, just examine your bad, negative ways. You need to honestly focus on the pros and the cons of your past. I know people who have neglected to balance their inventory and have gotten stuck in their recoveries. Or even worse, they judge the program to be too hard and too painful and stopped their journey of recovery altogether. And they slip back to their old hurts, hang-ups, and habits of the past. And I think that's a good point. Don't ever make this so hard that you want to leave. It's just, you know, just don't do that. If you have to stop and take a break, you have to talk to somebody. But if you've gotten this far, chances are you're finding something here that's working. So hang in, and that can be tough, but you don't have to do it all overnight. You don't have to do it in one session. So don't, you know, the worst thing is to quit. That's what Satan would love every one of us to do, because he hates your recovery and everything about it. So sometimes it's just chill out. Tomorrow's another day, you know, and that kind of thing. With the list, what I like, back to the library and pad and pencil, you know, pad opened up, you know, put bad stuff if you want on one side and good stuff on the other, you know, and try to come up once in a while with something good, you know. I mean, this all does kind of gear like kind of to the bad or the dark side and the secret, which it is, it's important. But, you know, go over the other and try to mix in, think of, well, I did do this right, you know. And whatnot to help that. But write it down also. There's something about writing it out, getting it on paper in black and white, as it says. Don't just think, well, I thought of it, that's good enough. Or it's that deepest, darkest secret that you're going to take to your grave. and again, go ahead, but write it down before you do. And get it, just do that much for now. Do step four. It's between you and the paper, nobody else. And then go buy a fireproof safe, to put it in or whatever, so nobody else can get at it. And that's a fear, too. I mean, you don't want to leave stuff laying around on the kitchen table, your worst things you've ever done in your life. You got to be careful. But get it down. Write it down. Even sometimes some stuff that's kind of light, maybe you think, but you never know what it might, and maybe it is, but maybe later, it something else comes out of that. I tried to think chronologically through my life also. Started at my earliest memory I could and sort of worked up just to, as a little exercise, and come up with stuff, my friend Johnny hit me, he had a metal shovel and he hit me in the head right here with it and it left a scar. You used to be able to see it between the hair, but the hair now has grown back to where you can't see it anymore. So, and I think, well, that jerk, Johnny, but I thought more about it. Well, wait a second, we were in the sand pile, and he had this nice new Tonka truck that I wanted, and so I took it, and then Johnny did what we do, crash. So it wasn't totally Johnny. So, I just had blood running all over and ran home and scared my mom to death and all that. But I had to think of where I was at fault. I wanted that truck and just took it, and then you kind of learn the law of the land, Learn the hard way that somebody didn't like that very well. But I tried to go then, you get older, more adult things and this and that, but it kind of leads. I had a terrible temper. If I didn't get my way, I would just lay on the ground and pound and kick and scream. And it's like, geez, what's that all about? I don't know that I've totally solved that one, but it showed me that, it's there. It's part of early on, so something started. It didn't just happen later and whatnot, but then kind of developed up through the years and whatnot. So I just tried to do that as one exercise that I did. You don't need to list every time you turned left when you should have turned right, and you just need to kind of get enough so that you kind of know. And the big stuff, maybe one example of something takes care of 20 more of the similar types of things and whatnot. So, again, it's a balance. So let's see. An important word of caution: do not begin this step without a sponsor or a strong accountability partner. You need someone you trust to help keep you balanced during this step, not to do the work for you. Nobody can do that except you. Great advice. A sponsor is so key. My sponsor, is what got me over the hump, got me some time, got me telling me to do stuff I didn't want to do that I finally had to just do, and got me going. Into sobriety. A couple weeks ago, we had Todd got up here and taught on sponsorship, and it's in the step study, which I promote. There's the step study guides are back there, which you can buy, and they're starting a step study here. It was announced earlier, so get involved in that. But this says this is participants guide. Oh, four. Oh, one.
They're all in
here. Huh?
They're all in there.
Okay. Oh, they're all in here. Yeah, you're right. I thought the book had gotten bigger. Anyway, that's what it looks like. There's a whole packet. They have them back there. So, step study, sponsor, accountability partners to help. If you are new to recovery or this is your first recovery meeting, we are glad that you are here. Pick up the first participant's guide. And stepping out of denial into God's grace and start this amazing journey with Jesus Christ. A healing journey that will lead you to freedom and truth. And by listening during the next 2 months, when you are ready to begin Principle 4, you will have a head start. You will also have a great understanding of the importance of Principle 4. So there's going to be more on this, more coming up, more to follow, as they say. So that's about it. Let's pray to wrap up here. Dear God, you know our past, all the good and the bad things that we've done. In this principle, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to list them so that we can come clean and face them and the truth. Please help us reach out to others who you have placed along our road to recovery. Thank you for providing them to help us keep balanced as we do our inventories. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much for listening tonight.